Joshua chapter 6, verse 12. And Joshua rose early in the morning, and the priests took up the ark of the Lord, and seven priests bearing seven trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord went on continually and blew with the trumpets, and the armed men went before them, but the rearward came after the ark of the Lord, the priests going on and blowing with the trumpets. And the second day they compassed the city once and returned into the camp. So they did 6 days. And it came to pass on the seventh day that they rose early about the dawning of the day and compassed the city after the same manner 7 times. Only on that day they compassed the city 7 times. And it came to pass at the seventh time, when the priests blew the trumpets, Joshua said unto the people, "Shout, for the Lord hath given you the city." Going down to verse 20. "So the people shouted when the priests blew with the trumpets, and it came to pass, when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and the people shouted with a great shout, that the wall fell down flat, so that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city." They took the city. Today, let's just look at one little part of this, and from it, I want to tell somebody here today, you have a reason to shout. You have a reason to shout. "Oh, I don't know about that, Pastor. You don't know what I'm dealing with. You don't know what I'm facing. You don't know how big my enemy is. You don't know how big this mountain is before me." I've come to tell you, in spite of the mountain, in spite of the giant, in spite of the circumstance, we have a reason to shout. Hallelujah. We have a reason to lift up our voice. We have a reason to open our mouth and send praise to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He's worthy of my praise. He's worthy of all the glory, of all the honor. I've got a reason to shout today. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Amen. God bless you. Please be seated today. Turn to somebody next to you and say, "I'm so glad I get to go to church with you." Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. In different church services, God will move in different ways. He's not always where he just does the same thing all the time. He does different things. He works in different ways. And sometimes he will order a service, a whole service. He'll order it around some specific individuals who have a special need. And then in ministering to those lives and to those needs, his spirit is really ministering to an entire church. And then there are other times where God's spirit will minister to a church as a whole, where the message is to the whole church, and it's vision for the whole church. It's a key somehow for the whole church. And then when the church receives what God is saying, then whatever it relates to the whole church, it's also a blessing to individuals who are in the church. And so that's actually what I feel like God is wanting to do to this in this service today. He wants to speak to our church as a whole, to give us direction for his body here in Springfield, Missouri. And then as the body is blessed, so will the individual parts be blessed in the body. Our responsibility today is to hear what God is saying to his body, and to keep our part within his body aligned with his spirit. And therefore, we'll be aligned with one another. Sometimes we get to thinking, "Well, how can I get in alignment with my brother? We're so different, or my sister. There's just so much difference between us. We think different. We do everything different. Their personalities are different. And how can we get aligned together?" When we get aligned with God, God gets us aligned together. Hallelujah. We have to have a common source that we're all striving to become aligned with Him, to be in tune with His Spirit. And once we get in tune with His Spirit, our differences won't matter as much. Come on, different personalities and different ways of thinking don't matter as much because we're aligned with one source. Do we realize today that we're part of the body of Christ? We're not in this by ourselves, but we're joined together. We're joined together, and not only this local church, but other churches and other believers as well, and all across the world. How beautiful it is when the body is fully functioning. Every part in sync and doing its individual part and producing the will of God. Somebody needs to see the big picture today. And you need to give yourself to be that part of the whole that God has called you to be. To say, God, I realize I may just be a small part in this great big body, but Lord, I want you to work through me however you choose in order to bring revival, in order to bring your blessing and your will to the entire body. And when we catch a vision like that hey, I'm part of something big. I'm part of the kingdom of God, and it's bigger than just me, and it's bigger than just one church. It's a big thing that God is doing. We get less focus on ourselves. It's no longer about just me, myself, and I. And how things affect me and what I want and what I think. But now it's how can I be a part of His body? How can I be a part of the whole? What part do I have to play in what God is doing in His kingdom? God's kingdom is bigger than just us. When we realize that, it's like something clicks and we start to feel the burden and hey, there's a church that needs revival, and it's more than just about my need and situation, but there's a city that needs God, and there's people around us that they're depending on our witness. We are the missionary that God has sent to them for such a time as this. Come on, you are a missionary today. You are taking the kingdom of God with you wherever you go, wherever you work, wherever you go to school, the neighborhood that you live in, the people that you associate with. You are a missionary of God. You are taking the kingdom of God to this world. He has sent us for such a time as this, and without us doing our part, souls are going to be lost. And so, yes, I know there's individual needs today, but for a little while, I feel like he's saying, I want you to just step back and realize how big this thing is. And I want you to see the need for this city and the need for this church. And he's wanting us to catch a vision for the revival that he has for us in this region. And then when that gets a hold of us, and we join together in unity to see God's will in this area. When we start thinking and praying and acting like a body of Christ as a whole, then the individual parts will be blessed because we're lining up with the same source. God gave Joshua directions on how to conquer the city of Jericho. Now, I'm sure Joshua was thinking, okay, how in the world are we going to do this? This is a mighty city. These are impregnable walls. There's no way. What are we going to do? But God gave him the answer. 7 priests were to go before the ark of the Lord, and they were to blow ram's horns, and then the priest would come bearing the ark of the covenant, and then came the armed men. And then came the people. And he told them, he said, I don't want you to shout. I don't want you to make any noise with your voice. Don't say any words until I instruct you to. And so around the city they go. Around they go. 1 day, 2 days, 3, 4, 5, 6. They go around 7 days, but on the seventh day they go seven times. And the seventh time around, the priest, they blow the trumpets. And Joshua says to the people, he says, shout, for the Lord hath given you the city. And what happened in that moment when they shouted with a great shout, the wall of Jericho fell down flat. And they go in and they take the city. God gave them a supernatural victory. Hallelujah. God gave them a supernatural victory. How did the victory come? There was no battering ram to smash the gates of the city. How did the victory come? They didn't have to scale the walls. There was no assault that gave them access. The walls simply fell down flat. Now, what made that happen? When they shouted, there was a supernatural force that brought down the walls of their enemy. Those sound waves produced something that the eye could not see. And God gave them the victory over their enemy. I want to tell somebody today, the enemy knows the power of our voice. The enemy knows the power of your voice. He knows better than we do the power that's in our voice. What does it mean to shout? Think about that. What does it mean to shout? Sometimes we get a little confused. Dancing is not shouting. Oh, they shout. That's not shouting. Leaping for joy is not shouting. Clapping our hands is not shouting. Running the aisles is not shouting. Now, we love all those forms of worship, but there's something about the voice that is so powerful. Oh, come on. There's a power in your voice. It's beyond just clapping. It's beyond leaping. It's beyond running the aisles. It's beyond dancing. There's something about the power that God has given us in our voice. Our voice has creative power. In the beginning, God said, and there was. God said, and there was. The way that we talk, it affects the atmosphere around us. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Paul wrote that Satan is the prince of the power of the air. And so his realm, his environment is in the air. What affects the air? Sound waves. Sound waves. We have the power to affect Satan's kingdom with our voice. The frequency of sound waves being produced by our vocal cords, it has the power to impact the atmosphere where we are. We can have a negative impact or we can have a positive impact depending on the frequencies that our voice makes. That's why there's resistance to lifting our voice in praise. Sometimes I've seen services, there's a powerful move of God. God's wanting to do great things. And then you'll see the Spirit of the Lord move, and somebody might say, praise the Lord, worship the Lord. And you'll notice people, their mouth is shut. They might be clapping. They might be dancing. But their mouth is shut. And there can be a level of victory that comes with that. Okay, I'm not against that. I love that, and I do that. But there's something when they open their mouth. It's a different dimension. It's a different level. And people will struggle with that. They might dance in the spirit. They might run the aisles, but to lift up their voice, there's a resistance there. they're inhibited. They have a problem pushing past that to make noise with their voice. Maybe it's because they're shy, or maybe it's because, you know, whatever it is, but they're inhibited there. That's why sometimes when you're praying and it's just a couple of people praying and you feel that, it's like, oh, I'm going to be quiet, you know. But sometimes you need to push past that. There's sometimes praying on my own where I could be praying quiet, but all of a sudden I would feel I need to pray loud, and I need to raise my voice, and it would change the atmosphere. And it's just me praying in the room, but all of a sudden there's more than just me. The Spirit of God is there, and it's infecting. There's things that are happening that I can't see quite with the natural mind, because it was all because I lifted my voice. I've come to tell somebody today, you need to go to another dimension. And another dimension here today is you can reach another dimension just by lifting your voice, just by opening your mouth and beginning to praise the Lord. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. God has given you a weapon. God has given you a weapon to change your situation, to literally change things in the atmosphere, to change your home, to change this church, to change our surroundings. Whatever the situation we find ourselves in, our voice has the power to transform things. Our health, our whole mindset, literally our voice has the power to send fear on its way and to transform that fear into faith. Oh, the power of our voice. The voice. Have you ever wanted to speak and maybe had something in your throat and you had to clear your throat? And then you can speak and it's louder. Sometimes stuff gets in the way. We got to just spiritually, we got to clear our throat and then speak with boldness, raise our voice, shout. The people shouted before the walls fell. Anybody can shout after they fall. Anybody can praise God for the miracle that he's just done. It's easy to give God praise when we know the outcome. But to do it before we see the victory, to praise God while the battle is still raging, to worship for what we haven't seen yet, that's a different thing. That's faith. That's faith. Hebrews 11 and 1 tells us, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Hallelujah. Then verse 30, it says, by faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. Faith is the assurance of what we're hoping for, the things we're believing for. Faith gives us the confidence about things we've not seen yet, but we know that they're going to come to pass. We can't see it in the natural, but by faith we know it's going to be reality. Hallelujah. There's sometimes you just have a feeling that everything's going to be all right. You just got a feeling that God's got this. He's in control. And so you step out in faith. Oh, come on. The situation doesn't match my response, but I'm not governed by what's happening in the natural. I'm governed by what God says is going to come to pass. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Faith anticipates victory. Faith anticipates victory, and it celebrates in advance. Oh, Miriam grabbed a tambourine. She began to sing and she began to dance. Sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and rider hath he thrown into the sea. It was the right song. It was the right dance. But it was the wrong side of the sea. It was the wrong side of victory. Before Pharaoh's army had been defeated, the people were coming at Moses. Why'd you bring us out here to eat from Egypt? Why'd you bring us out here to die in the wilderness? It would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians. We could have died there in Egypt. Why'd you bring us all the way out here? Now, of course, God delivered them, and Pharaoh's army was defeated and drowned in the Red Sea. And then they sang and danced. But how much more powerful would it have been if when they were blocked in on all sides, when Pharaoh and his chariots and his army was coming in hot, and when it looked like all hope was lost, what if before the miracle, Miriam had brought out the tambourine and said, I don't know what else to do, but in this situation, I'm going to praise the Lord. In this situation, I'm going to dance. In this situation, I'm going to give God praise for what he's going to do. Come on. What if she would have said, whose report are you going to believe? We shall believe the report of the Lord. Somebody today, there needs to be a shout that comes from your belly all the way up through your voice. And you say, I'm going to believe the report of the Lord. Faith anticipates victory and it celebrates in advance. Faith anticipates victory and it celebrates in advance. Somebody needs to turn your faith loose today. Somebody needs to say, I don't have anything to go on but faith, but I'm going to go on faith today. Faith anticipates the victory, and so I'm going to celebrate in advance. Come on, what are you celebrating about? What God's going to do. The miracle that's on the way. Hallelujah. I'm throwing a little pre-miracle party. A little pre-miracle party. I'm anticipating what's in the works. I'm celebrating by faith. Hallelujah. 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 You know, they have these big Hollywood events, big celebrity events, whatever, award shows, and you know, all these different things. And sometimes they have an after party, and sometimes they have a pre-party. Now, most people like to go to the after party. And that's kind of the way it is in church. We like to go to the after party. When God's delivered, and God's set free, and God's done the miracles, and oh, it's a service, and the glow of the Holy Ghost is still in there. And oh, we love the after party. But there's sometimes there wouldn't be an after party if there wasn't a pre-party. A pre-miracle party. And that sets the stage for what God is about to do. I've come to tell somebody today, when we come and we say, oh God, I don't know the answer to this situation, but I know that you know, and so I'm going to worship you anyhow. I'm anticipating something great happening in this service. I'm anticipating somebody that's going to receive the Holy Ghost. Somebody's going to be baptized in the precious name of Jesus. Somebody's going to step out in faith and God's going to change their world. Somebody's going to receive deliverance today. Somebody's going to give their life to you. I'm anticipating what you're going to do, and so I'm just worshiping you for it right now. I'm going to give you praise, Lord. God, you do what you're going to do, but I'm going to give you praise, and I'm going to give you worship today. Hallelujah, hallelujah. God gives us, sometimes he gives us a little glimpse of what he's going to do. And sometimes you, oh no, that's crazy. That surely that can't happen. We push it aside. Stop pushing aside those things, those little glimpses. Start taking hold of that and say, okay, God, you're just giving me a little glimpse so that I can praise you so that it comes to pass. Hallelujah. Jesus said in Mark 11:24, therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. Whatever you desire, believe that you receive it and ye shall have it. What walls are you facing today? What is it that's keeping you back from victory? What's holding back revival for this city, for this region? We're going to believe today that those walls are coming down. They're already coming down. They're in the spirit, they're already coming down. When God says it, the walls are as good as already down. Faith receives the word of God and believes that it's already so. Faith proclaims it, that it's already done. Faith takes God at his word and shouts now. Hallelujah. Oh, that's crazy, Pastor. Because I'm looking around and I still see the walls and they're still there and I'm still in a battle and I'm still sick and the enemy's still attacking and we still need victory and we still need to see revival and I'm still looking around and seeing empty chairs today. Why in the world would I want to shout now? Let me wait till it's already done. There's something about the shout that connected with what God had already spoken. It connected with what had to happen in the physical to reach out and take hold of what happened in the spiritual. Somebody had enough faith to reach out and take hold of what had not been fully completed here on this earth. And their shout was that point of connection. Shout, for the Lord hath given you the city. Last Sunday night, Brother Tim Blackwell came and preached and did an amazing job, preached to us about praise. And I tell you, if you missed that service, you just really missed it. We had a time in the Holy Ghost, and I really believe it's something that transformed something about our church, and we're only going to see the future of that as it unfolds. But there was a sound of victory in this house. And in preaching about the story of Jericho, he mentioned this verse. He said, shout, for the Lord hath given you the city. And there was a call to reach out in faith and to praise God for it. And Sister Blackwell came and spoke to me and said, I really felt that was the word for this church. I really feel it. And shout, for the Lord hath given you the city. And that has resonated with me all week long. God's up to something. God's up to something. There was a breakthrough in that service. Something shifted in the spiritual world. There was something that changed. God's up to something. God's working. We may not see it all right now in the natural, but God's moving. He's working. But here's the thing. We have a part to play in this too. The walls didn't fall until the people shouted. The walls of Jericho, they were still looming large over the children of Israel. But Joshua had a meeting with the captain of the Lord's host, and he said, fear not, because God's got this. Amen. Shout, for the Lord hath given you the city. And I just feel like today, this is what's been in my spirit. I didn't know I was going to be preaching today, but I just preaching you what I feel from the Lord for this church as a whole today. I feel the word of the Lord for this church as God is directing us and he's calling for faith. He's preparing us for some of the greatest miracles we've ever seen. And what God wants me to speak to this church today is the same thing he told Joshua to say. Shout, for the Lord hath given you the city. Shout, for the Lord hath given you the city. Somebody lift up your voice. Somebody shout. God has given us a reason to shout. You see, we're not shouting just for ourselves today. That's part of it. But it's more than that. We're shouting for a city that needs God. We're shouting for a city that needs revival. We're shouting for a place that's full of lost souls that are going to hell. But God wants us to shout, for he has given us the city. Sometimes we don't see it. I drive down the city, the streets in the city of Springfield, and I tell you, everybody I see is not living for the Lord. There's so much that are lost, and there's wickedness. And I tell you, the job of reaching this city, it's overwhelming. We've not even tapped the surface yet, folks. Let me just get a show of hands. How many of you live within the city limits of Springfield? Okay. Less than half. There's others live in Ozark or Nixa or, you know, wherever. Folks, we've not even tapped the surface of this city yet. We've got a long ways to go. It's overwhelming. The job of reaching this city is overwhelming. There's so many obstacles. There's so much that seems possible. That's the same thoughts that came to Israel. But God wanted them to shout, for he had given them the city. Hallelujah. How can our voice make a difference when we're up against such a great mountain? How did Jesus say they were to move the mountain? He didn't say go get excavation equipment. He didn't say go get some sticks of dynamite. No, he said do it with your voice. Say unto this mountain, be thou removed. Could it really be that simple? Could it really be that simple? To God it is. To God it is. Not to us, but to God it is. When God has said, I've already done it, you've just got to shout to receive the promise. We better pay attention. We better lift our voice. We better say, okay, God, I'm going to do my part. You've given me a reason to shout. I'm shouting for my family. I'm shouting for my healing. I'm shouting for this city. I'm shouting for a miracle. Amen, amen. It's easiest for us to look at 170,000 people in the city of Springfield and think there's no way. 300,000 in Greene County, close to 500,000 people in the metropolitan area. Our church hasn't even started to reach our city. And all the obstacles and the spiritual strongholds and principalities and how we're just so small against what we're up against. But before it's done, when we don't understand it, when we can't imagine how it's going to happen, that's when we're supposed to shout. Jesus told Peter in Matthew 16:18, "And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it, and I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." What we need is the key to this city. I wonder today, who knows what the key is to this city? I don't know. If I knew it, I'd already done got it. Who knows where to find the key? Who already has the key? Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. He knows the key to this city. There's a medieval tradition of giving someone the key to a city. In medieval times, they would have a walled city with gates that would be locked and guarded, and they would sometimes give a key to someone who was allowed to come and go as they pleased. This would only be for someone who was completely trusted. Today, keys, symbolic keys to a city will be given to people and to citizens and those who have served the public and achieved something great in that city. In Springfield, they've awarded the key to the city to several different people over the years. A few years ago, they gave one to Johnny Morris. And I want to tell you, wow. I love Bass Pro Shop. I love Bass Pro Shop. But I want to tell you a place I hate, Brown Derby. How much bondage is in this city because of that liquor business? And you want to give that man the key to this city? Doesn't he have some kind of connection with them, some of those stores? I don't know. Maybe I'm totally missing it. I thought so, or it started that way or something. It matters who you give the key to. It matters who you give the key to. That, now, folks, I just totally lost it. Johnny, I love Bass Pro. he's never going to see this. If he does, you need the Holy Ghost. Jesus said, you got to be born again of the water and of the Spirit if you want to see the kingdom of God. And you need to pay your tithes. So, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. But it matters who you give the key to. And so it's a symbolic thing. As you know, our city does not have walls or gates now, but spiritually there is a key to the city. Spiritually there is a key to the city. If God has given us the city, then that means he has the key. I believe that there are keys. There are people who are keys. There are strongholds that are keys. There are things spiritually that we don't understand in the natural that are keys. And sometimes God doesn't always reveal to us where the key is or how to find it. We just have to trust him, and he opens the door when we're ready for it. But I want to tell you, I believe that if he has given us this city, then he already has the key or all the keys. Amen. And somehow we've got to connect with what he's already doing in the spiritual that we can't see, that we can't understand, that we can't maybe take hold of in the natural yet. But somebody needs to get in the spirit today, and they need to shout, for God has given us the city. God has given us the city. Hallelujah, hallelujah. there's a certain corner of this city that I'm believing God for. No, I don't know. God does what he's got his will. But every time I pass that place, I think, man, that would be an awesome place to have an apostolic church that everybody in this city would see. And so when I go past that place, I lift my hands and I say, God, I praise you for a church right there. I praise you for what you're going to do. Sometimes you got to lift your voice and you got to start proclaiming some things and speaking some things by faith. You got to anticipate what God is going to do and start celebrating ahead of time. Come on, God, I believe you for it. I'm celebrating today for a revival in this city that's going to shake the world. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Would you stand with me in closing today? You think you got it bad? In the 1950s, there was a Christian evangelist. He was from England, named Leonard Ravenhill. Story is told of how he was preaching one time in Chicago, and one night while he was sleeping in the third floor room of a Chicago hotel, he was suddenly awakened by the fire alarm. Unable to get down the stairs because of the fire, he returned back to the third floor. He rescued his traveling partner from the next room where he was incapacitated by the smoke, and he had no choice but to drop his friend out the window from a third floor and then proceed to jump himself. During the few fleeting seconds as he was falling, he heard the words of Psalm 118 and 17. Thou shalt not die, but live, and declare the works of the Lord. Seconds later, he lay in agony, his back broken in three places, one leg broken, and his feet shattered by the fall. You think you got it bad? That's pretty bad right there. The doctor said he wouldn't live through the night. But miraculously, he survived. And as he's laying there now in the hospital bed, and they're trying to do what they can, he's laying there totally immobilized. His whole body and his legs and everything are in these plaster casts. And he's laying there thinking about how bad his situation was. He said to the Lord, "Now what good am I, Lord? I can't preach. I can't even read my Bible." But as he lay there, he tells of how he heard the gentle but firm voice of the Lord say. Have you ever heard that? It's gentle, but it's firm. He heard the voice of God say, "You can worship me. You can worship me." The doctor said there was no hope. They said, "This man's going to die." But his worship made the difference. I don't think there's anybody in this room today that is bad off as Leonard Ravenhill was after he fell from the third floor. But I want to tell somebody today, no matter what you're going through, you may think, "Well, what can I do? I don't know the answer. I don't have the money I need. I don't have the answers I need." But what can you do? You can worship. You can worship. Hallelujah, Jesus. The enemy wants to steal your praise. The enemy comes against your voice. He wants you speaking the negative. Look at the children of Israel. 40 years before, they had disrupted what God wanted to do because of negative speaking. "Well, we're grasshoppers in their sight. There's giants in the land. I don't know. We just," in murmuring and complaining, it had took them on a 40-year detour, and now they're coming back. And Joshua says, "Zip it. Not one word is going to come out of your mouth until I say. I don't want you to say anything because we don't want to stop what God's about to do." Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Psalms 47:1. Oh, clap your hands, all ye people. Shout unto God with the voice of triumph. Can we do that here right now? Clap your hands, all ye people, and shout unto God with the voice of triumph. Hallelujah! 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 Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Now, I wasn't looking around to see, but I hope somebody here today wasn't just clapping your hands and not lifting your voice. The enemy wants to stop your voice. He wants to stop your shout. Well, Pastor, it looks kind of weird. Sometimes God wants you to get rid of your pride. Well, Pastor, I don't know what people are going to say. Nobody else is worried about you right now. There's sometimes pride. Oh, well, I don't want to dance like that. I don't want to worship like that. I don't want to shout like that. That's different. That's weird. Yeah, it's weird to this world, but they don't have victory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Woo! The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. There's something about the shout. There's something about a shout of victory. There's something about your voice. Come on, somebody. Whatever you're going through right now, I want you to shout. I want you to anticipate what God is going to do and start celebrating early. Start celebrating ahead of time.